All right, if you did not get one of the Sunday school books, one of the student manuals, would you raise your hand? Our men should have some of those ready to pass out. If you did not get one when you came in a while ago, right up front here, we need two. And where are those men? I told them to have those ready. All right, we need two right up front here. Brother Larry, you got them? There's some more over there. He has some more if you need to get some more. There should be some in the back, but two right up front here. All right. Anyone else now that doesn't have one of the student manuals? These are for you to keep. You're going to need that. You're going to need your Bible, and you're going to need a pen or a pencil. So if you don't have one, borrow one from somebody that's close to you. It's good to have Uma from Mongolia. With us today. Raise your hand there. Could you get it? And she is a translator, and she's in the States right now. We're glad to have her in our service again today, and thank the Lord for that. All right, we want you to get your student manual, and we're going to be talking about discipleship. Discipleship. And you can turn there in the first part of your book, discipleship, and a text you can look up and be familiar with, and the scriptures, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We have been discipled, and we are disciplers, and we have a responsibility to make disciples. If you set out to deny the flesh and obey Christ's great commission to make disciples, you will be used of God to build his church with multiplied disciples. But if you set out to gratify the flesh and obey your own selfish ambitions to attract an audience, you will not be used of God to build his church with multiplied, or you will not be used of God to build his church with multiplied spectators. Sold out disciples will build the church. That's what it takes. Not the spectators that just show up. And we do have some of that in our churches. You turn the page, you'll see eight sacred laws of the disciple. These class notes are written by Brother Steve Olante and put this together for us for this study on discipleship. And these are those eight laws. And he took the word disciple, and with each letter of the word disciple, there's a law. The law of duty, the law of importance, the law of sacrifice, the law of commitment, the law of investment, the law of pursuit, the law of love, which is so important, and then the law of eternity. One of the key verses in the introduction to the course is Matthew 16:24. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How many of us really feel that we've done a good job of that? Taking up our cross and following him. Not just being saved, but it's becoming a disciple of Christ and discipling other people. Jesus said that a true disciple must take their stand with him. That's what he's saying. Must give up their rights. They have to bear the shame of Christ's cross and then be like Christ, or to imitate Christ. And then on, I think it would be page 4 in your book, but at the top it says the disciple's oath. You read that over, and I hope you'll sign that to yourself and before the Lord, and make a promise that you'll try your very best and yield yourself to be a discipler and a disciple, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the law of duty as we start out today. Law number 1, thou shalt be my witnesses, and that's at home, that's everywhere. The definition of duty comes from the word due or debt. Now, if you have any bills, you know what that means. It's something that we owe, and we're required to pay. Maybe in a moral basis, maybe spiritual or legal obligation, because of our different positions, we have duties, but as a Christian, we definitely have a duty to serve the Lord, the law of duty. The watchman, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is also called the watchman. And he's charged by the master to cry out and warn people of an impending danger of attack. There's not a disciple, a true disciple of Christ, that can say, I was not called to be a watchman. All of us are called to be watchmen. We are supposed to be people who cry out and warn others about eternal destruction and eternal damnation. And we're to yield our lives to the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's reasonable. The key to it, one of the keys, is you will receive power to be witnesses, to be a witness. And Jesus said that he would give us that way of salvation and give others a way of salvation. He'd give us the power to tell them about salvation and enablement to get the gospel to those, which is our duty, and we ought to witness to others. 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, Paul said, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity, that is, there it is, the law of duty, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe, or grief, come to me, is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. You say, well, Paul was an evangelist and preacher. More importantly, he was a Christian, and this is given to all of us. Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And so we need to think about, if we have great power and gave a great witness, then we would have the great grace of God upon us, and that's what we want as individuals, and that should be what we want as a church. Now, first of all, God will hold the watchman accountable for his witness. Ezekiel 33, if you'll find that in your Bible, Ezekiel 33, and we'll be going to some different references along the way. But in Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 11, we'll look at some of those as we go along here. But he gives us that responsibility of being a watchman. And God warns Ezekiel about the watchman's duties and tells him about that. Look in verse 2. It is the watchman's duty to warn the people of impending danger. Verse 2, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Have somebody that's there ready to warn about the danger that's coming. Soldiers and others that are going to come and try to cause them harm. So the watchman, he says, have a watchman that has that duty. And the watchman should warn the people. Verse 3, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. In other words, if you do your job and warn them, then the responsibility is on them. And they have that responsibility. And so the watchman is free of guilt. But if the watchman fails to warn, the scripture says, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman, verse 6, see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So we're all watchmen, and the Lord, if we don't warn people, their blood he will require at our hand. If we fail to warn them, then we become guilty. He's talking about Ezekiel and the watchman, but he's talking about us too. So God will hold the watchman accountable for his witness. And let me promise you today that God holds you as one individual accountable for your stewardship in this area of witnessing and in making disciples. Secondly, what was one of the first things Jesus taught his disciples right after the resurrection? Well, let's turn to some familiar verses in Matthew 28. I think these would be a little more familiar to us than the others. We've heard them many times, but let's review them because it's so important. What did Jesus tell them after his resurrection? Matthew 28, and drop down to verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now this was after the resurrection. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now look at verse 19. And he says, go ye therefore. The word go in Matthew 28:19 is not the imperative command go, but it's a word that means, and you have this in your notes there to fill out, it means to conduct oneself. Go, conduct yourself, or live for this very purpose. Live to go, conduct yourself to go. We're here to live for that purpose, and so we conduct ourselves to do that, conduct oneself. And then the middle part of that verse, he tells us that we're to teach all nations and then to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's for all of us. That was for his disciples, his apostles. It's for us today. So we are to make disciples or convert people to place their faith in Jesus for salvation. That's our responsibility. We're to warn them. And then we're to make disciples or convert these people to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're to baptize them. Go therefore, teach all nations, convert them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we're to baptize those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But then our job's not over, is it? Our job isn't at all over when we baptize people. We are then to train these believers. We're to train them to resist the devil, to resist fleshly desires, to obey the Word of God. And that's in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. To do these very same things, but also to live the kind of life that shows what a disciple really should be. And so we're to conduct oneself or live for the purpose of that, make disciples, convert these people to the place, their faith in Christ, baptize them, and then train them. And this is all part of our responsibility. Now, Mark 16 and 15, look over there, if you will. Mark chapter 16. I hope you have your Bibles and you'll turn there. Good little Bible drill for us. Mark 16 and verse 15. Jesus said unto them, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, the word go here is not in the imperative, but it's not an imperative depart, but it's a verb that sets the target, that's the word there, it sets the target or scope to whom we should preach. Well, to whom should we preach? To whom should we witness? And how should what should we do? Well, Mark 16:15 has commanded them to go into all the world and preach. Not go and show them how to have better water and more food and how to plant crops. You might use that as a means to an end. But our purpose is get into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we are watchmen, we're to warn people, and Jesus told us that we're to go out and we're to conduct ourselves and disciple people, baptize them, teach them, and go to the whole world. And that means not only missions, but it means right here. It means in Fort Worth. It means around where you live, where you work, your block, those you're associated with. that we're to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, let's go to Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 45 through 53. Luke chapter 24. Jesus, and you, some of these verses you'll have to read on your own and review them. That's why you have the manual, so you can take it home with you and do that. But Jesus opened their understanding of the scripture about the Messiah, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour when there was a darkness over all the earth. Oh, I'm sorry, I got to turn one more here, verse 44 of chapter 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the Old Testament, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning whom? Concerning me. So Jesus opened their understanding to the scripture about the Messiah, the Old Testament prophecies, and it was all about him. Therefore, it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to save us. In verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So he's explaining this to them. Jesus opened their understanding, talking about the Messiah, and it was necessary for him to suffer. And then, after his resurrection, it is in my authority, he says, take the message of repentance to all the nations. In my authority. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, starting in Fort Worth. Beginning here, but beginning in Jerusalem is what he told them. What were they to preach? Repentance and remission. So he was going to show them revealing the Messiah was necessary. It was his authority that he gave to them to go out and do that, and that there is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to the Messiah for salvation. That's part of verse 47 also. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to the Messiah or salvation. And then he says to them again, and says it to us today, to you and to me personally, in verse 48, you are witnesses of my life, miracles, death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 48, ye are witnesses of these things. What things? Those things. He says to them, you saw all of this. You saw my life. You saw the miracles I did. You saw that I was crucified and buried, and I rose. So he gives them all of this information, and then he says, wait for the power promised by my Father in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the power. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. He didn't say pray through, he just said tarry. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. So there's so much involved in there. And he says, wait for the power that has been promised by my Father in the coming of the person, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let's move to Acts chapter 1. Going to Acts chapter 1, the early church, the empowerment of that early church, in Acts chapter 1, and you can read verses 1 through 9 on your own time, but look at verse 3, where he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus proved, as you fill out your blank there, Jesus proved to his disciples many times that he truly was risen. And then Jesus forbid them to leave Jerusalem until they received the promise. Again, verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanding that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith thee, ye have heard of me. You've got to stay here and wait for the promise of the Father. And then Jesus told them that this promise was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, not many days hence. So they were to be baptized, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus taught them that the Holy Spirit would give them power, not power to defeat Rome, not a political move, but to enable them to do what? To be witnesses, not warriors, but witnesses of him in all the world. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. I'm going to give you power to do what? To be witnesses for me. And then when Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus, what was it that he had chosen him to do? In God's sovereign providence, he chose him to do something. In Acts chapter 9, if you'll find your place there, we'll look at some verses here. And you can read all of those verses at home as you review all of this. But the conversion story is here of the Apostle Paul, and you pretty well know it. But Paul was chosen as a vessel unto Jesus to do what? To bear his name. To bear his name. Chapter 9 and verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So Paul was a chosen vessel unto Jesus to do what? To bear his name and to be a witness to the Gentiles, especially to the Gentiles and the kings and to the children also of Israel, to the Jews. And that's the latter part of that verse, Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, to the Jews also. So God called him and gave him this calling to go out and make disciples and to preach the gospel. In Acts 22, if you turn on over there, Acts chapter 22, Paul has a defense to the leaders there in Jerusalem, who, by the way, were not too friendly to him. But Ananias told Paul that God had chosen him to know his will. That might be the way of salvation. And to see that just one, that's Jesus, and to hear the voice, that is the words of his mouth. So Ananias is telling Paul that. Look in verse 14, chapter 22, verse 14. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, Ananias talking to Paul, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. And so he was again reiterating to him what his calling was. But Ananias told Paul that God had chosen him to know his will, see that the just one Jesus, and to hear the voice of the words. And then Ananias told Paul that he was to be what? A witness. Verse 15, that he was to be a witness. Thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. You're to be a witness, Paul, unto all men of what you've heard, and witness to the whole world. Now, number four, what did Paul stress in his letters to the church at Rome and also when he wrote to the church at Colossae? Romans chapter 1. Turn right on over there and we'll see what he was about, what he was saying. Romans chapter 1. Drop down, find your place, and we'll look at verse 14 where he says here, I am what? I am debtor. I'm a debtor, or I'm under the obligation of duty. Going back to that word of duty, responsibility, a debt we owe. And he said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I'm a debtor, and I have a debt to pay. And not only was he a debtor, but he said, I'm ready, I'm eager. I wonder if we're eager to preach the gospel. He said, I'm eager to preach the gospel. That is to be a witness of Jesus Christ to you in Rome. And he says that in verse 15, to you that are in Rome. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So he was eager to do that. Preach the gospel. Tell them how to be saved. Witness, give them a witness of Jesus. And here's one reason he could do it. He said, for I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Do we present it often? Or are we a little ashamed of it? The good news or the witness of what Christ has done, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel in verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was not at all ashamed to preach. And Ananias said, God had told him, this is why I called you. Ananias told him that. Now he's out doing the job. He's not ashamed of the gospel. And he is debtor. I owe a debt. And by the way, we all owe a debt to Jesus Christ for saving our soul. And we owe a debt to him to obey him. And we have a duty and responsibility to witness for him all the time. Not just once or twice a year, but to be in the mindset of witnessing all the time. Now look at Colossians just a second. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's drop down to verse 23, Colossians 1:23. And as a watchman, that is a minister, and that's what we really are, all of us, not just me, but you too, Paul warned the people of Colossae that they had to continue in the faith. In other words, persevere in their faith in salvation by grace. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. So continue in the faith. And then in that verse he also said, be grounded in the faith. Be grounded in the faith. Get our strength from Christ. Get our strength from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue in it, persevere in it, be grounded in the faith, and be settled in the faith. Continue, grounded, settled in the faith. The ability to stand firm against attacks. And certainly we're going to have those attacks. Satan's going to see to it. But be settled in the faith. Know that. And then never abandon the hope of the gospel. Never abandon the hope of the gospel. In other words, don't allow these current events and things in our culture and the currents of evil, the wrong, to cause them to drift away from the assurance of salvation. That's what he's talking about. We're to continue grounded, settled, knowing for sure and having assurance that we belong to the Lord. And then, secondly, as a watchman, as a minister, Paul was sent to fully preach the word. What does that mean, preach the word? Well, preach the message. Give the message. What is the message? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Make known the riches of God's glory. That is Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If we didn't have Christ in us, we wouldn't have any hope to go to heaven. Salvation is only in Christ. That's why we as Christians have the only message that can cause people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as watchmen, we're ministers. Paul tells us to continue, be grounded, be settled, have the hope, never abandon the hope of the gospel. As a watchman, we're to preach the word. And then thirdly, as a watchman, Paul was sent to preach, to warn, and to teach every man. To warn and teach every man. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning, watchmen again, every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or saved, born again in Christ The goal of the watchman is to do what? Present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That is saved, born again. To be perfect in Christ is to have a right faith relationship with Christ. And that's what it is, believing, trusting, and having that right faith relationship. Paul said that I do this through the mighty power of Christ that works in me. In verse 29, wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. It's God, the Holy Spirit, in us and dwelling in us and working mightily in us to get the job done. So, a watchman must depend on Christ's mighty power to warn sinners of their eternal danger. We are watchmen, and we have this responsibility. We must depend on Christ's mighty power to warn sinners of the eternal danger. You don't want your loved ones and friends and those you know and anybody that you come in contact with to die and go to hell. And so here's a good prayer to pray that's mentioned here. You may want to pray that a number of times this coming week. Lord, please help me to see people around me in great danger of eternal hell and help me to warn them. Who else is going to warn them? Help me to warn them. I can't be everywhere you are. You can't be everywhere I am. But we have a responsibility wherever we are to warn people. And so the watchman, that's what we are. Remember what Ezekiel said? If we don't watch and warn them, then the blood is on our hands. If we do, then it's on their hands. But we want to be sure that we are watchmen, and a watchman has a duty to be a witness for Christ. That means everybody in this class right here this morning has a duty and a responsibility. You, not just me, you have a duty and a responsibility to be a watchman for Jesus Christ, to be a witness and to carry the gospel like Paul and others did, and we have the same responsibility to do the very same thing. Pray that prayer and ask God to break your heart. Lord, please help me to see people around me in great danger of eternal hell and help me personally, to be the one who warns them about that and tells them how to be saved. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being your disciples and for discipling others. Help us to remember that we have this responsibility and that we're to cry out and cry aloud and tell others about Jesus, that they would be spared from eternal damnation and hell. Grip our hearts with the responsibility that we have as watchmen and as disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Take these books with you. They're yours to keep. And if you lose it, we'll sell you another one. All right? Okay.